All right, so starting off, our authors talk about the classical approach seeks to show that the Christian worldview is rational or reasonable and therefore worthy of belief. The characteristic approach that they take to accomplish the task is this two-step or two-stage argument. First, the classical apologist seeks to demonstrate that theism, the general type of worldview that affirms the existence of one personal creator God and that is associated historically with Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, is true, and arguments of the deductive logical structure proofs is the usual strict sense are typical of the stage, although many apologists in this tradition also use empirical arguments and claim only to show that there are good reasons to think that God exists. And so we'll kind of unpack that a little bit more as we go.
Yeah, so basically, as you mentioned now, that this is a two-step approach. So this first step, right, is to show that God exists, or at least a theistic God exists, right? And then the second step or stage of the apologetic from the classical apologist perspective, given the existence of God, which they have various proofs that we'll look at some of those now, the evidence for Jesus Christ and the inspiration of the Bible are sufficient to show that Christianity then is the true religion. So at this stage, the arguments are usually, more inductive as opposed to deductive. So they're not proofs per se, but they're inductive arguments. And in fact, they're typically identical to the sorts of arguments used by another approach that we'll take a look at, evidentialist, right, in regard to such subjects as the resurrection of Christ. So this chapter examines the classical methods, that's the method we're looking at, their answer to six questions about scripture, other religions, God, evil, miracles, and Jesus. So that's what we'll walk through in this particular chapter, get a good look and a feel for how the classical approach deals with these various six questions. Mm-hmm.
And as we go through the four main types, the past two episodes that we did looked at the six relationships that the certain method has towards things like logic and philosophy, theology, historicity, scripture, and personal experience. And here are the kind of the six questions that kind of all apologists should be kind of on the hook for. And so, as Tony mentioned, the six are the scriptures, other religions, God, evil, miracles, and Jesus. So that's what chapter six is going to be as we start with a scripture as conclusion. Well, one of the most fundamental questions concerning apologetic methods is the role of scripture and that it plays in the apologetic argument. In general, the classical approach seeks to make the existence of scripture as a body of inspiration and authoritative writing the conclusion of the whole apologetic. So, they're not going to start off with it. They're going to say, here are certain proofs. Here's the cosmological argument. Here's a good reason to believe that Jesus exists. And then ultimately, we find his full authoritative, faith-filled message in the scriptures, and so let's open that up. So that's the end of their apologetic argument is the scriptures.
Right. And so in treating the authority of the scriptures, as a conclusion toward which an apologetic is directed, classical apologists seek to avoid what they believe is begging the question, by assuming that the authority of scripture and apologetic arguments are directed toward unbelievers. So they don't want to beg the question and start with scripture. They want to first show that God exists and then move to a conclusion that scripture, then the biblical scripture, is the correct revelation of God. So these apologists argue that, notice, reason must judge the credentials of any alleged revelation. So reason is key for this particular approach. God gave us our faculty of reason and expects us to employ our reasoning abilities both to recognize his true revelation and to detect the fraudulent revelations of other religions. So that's kind of their approach with regard to scripture.
Right. So classical apologists believe that human beings are responsible to use their reasoning facilities to, as 1 John 4:1 says, test the spirits to see whether they are from God. They deny that testing revelations from God is a manifestation of human autonomy that elevates the mind as the final authority for truth. And so some other methods might charge them with this, but they say, no, that's not the case. We're not hanging our hats on human autonomy. But this is kind of scripturally based of what we should be doing. And so there are arguments to get into that. And the Five Views book that we recommended several episodes ago, that does a good job of being more contentious than what we're being at in this book. Well, here, rather than just as it is in is reasonable to look at for credentials before submitting to human authority in any given field, so it is reasonable to submit to the authority of revelation once it is shown to be well-founded on the basis of God-given rationality. So again, the authority of scripture then is put forth secondary and rationality, whether we can know it, whether it can stand up to what God has given us as far as our own human faculties. That's what allows us to approach scripture and say, ah, yes, this is authoritative and I should live my life by it.
Right. So first they show that, the first step here is that God is, there is a God, theism is true. And then that Jesus Christ is God. And when we get to scripture, then what they're saying is now God has given us reason. And so we can use our reason this God-given reason to show which is the correct revelation of God. And so reason then, as we saw at the beginning of this particular section, shows scripture as the conclusion of their argument, and they don't start with scripture.